Brothers and sisters, I trust you have been helped by this. I have sure been convicted by re-examining this great love chapter, God's better way, God's excellent way that he has mapped out for us in the church and in all our relationships. Remember, we're looking at five great gifts that are useless without love here in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 3. First, without love, eloquence annoys, verse 1, and then verse 2a, without love, knowledge helps no one. And then verse 2b, without love, faith is worthless. Now, Paul turns up the heat even hotter. Verse 3a, without love, generosity gains nothing. Look at verse 3. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor. I mean, have you ever known anyone who did that? Everything, all of it. And yet, without love? Well, Ananias and Sapphira, Acts 5, sold their property to the church just to look good, not because they loved. Pharisees wanted the trumpet blown, Matthew 6, whenever they would give to the poor. Ladies and gentlemen, look at me, Mr. Generous, poster boy for philanthropy, right here. You ask, is it really possible to be that generous without love? Well, ask the Pharisee in Jesus' parable, Luke 18, boasting in his prayer, God, I thank you, I'm not like other selfish people. No, I fast 2 times per week, pay tithes of all I get. You think you did that out of love? Not a chance. That's why Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9, 7, that our giving should be from a cheerful heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. God loves a hilarious, a glad giver. He cares about the motives and the attitudes, not just the actions. He sees our hearts. But there's one final act that Paul has saved for last. Without love, you could still speak in tongues, prophesy, know it all, have great faith and be generous, but surely you would not lay down your life without love, would you? Verse 3 continues, if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Probably martyrdom he has in mind here. I mean, surely if I did this, it would benefit the church, build up the body, advance the gospel, right? Wrong, Paul says. Not if it's done in an unloving, selfish manner. You could die valiantly like Polycarp or John Huss, burnt at the stake, but do it with the heart of a Cain or a Judas. And so, number 5, without love, sacrifice is pointless. Remember the first 3 centuries of Christianity, terrible Roman persecutions. Martyrs were common, and they were rightly honored. It was said of Polycarp, after he was burned alive for Christ, that his bones were more valuable than precious stones and finer than refined gold. And his grave became a sacred place for Christians to gather. But this would have tempted Christians even to be martyrs with wrong motives. John Edwards' classic book from his sermons on 1 Corinthians 13, it's called Charity and Its Fruits. He says this, God delights in little things when they spring from sincere love to himself. A cup of cold water given to a disciple in sincere love is worth more in God's sight than all one's goods to feed the poor. Yea, than the wealth of a kingdom given away or a body offered up in the flames without love. So then, beloved, if love is that big a deal, that indispensable and essential, we better figure out what it is. 5 great gifts that are useless without love. And so we want to dive in next week to what love is in detail, the super 15, a 15-point description. But in closing, children, I hope some of you have been watching these. I'd love to hear families that are benefiting from this together. Do you realize how God does his maths? Here's the divine equation. 5 great gifts added together, but subtracting love minus love equals a big fat 0. 5 minus 1 in God's eyes equals 0. The loveless person, Paul has said here in these first 3 verses, produces nothing, verse 1, is nothing, verse 2, and gets nothing, verse 3. I don't know how Paul could have put it any stronger. I mean, write this down. Take a clean sheet of paper, if you will. A big fat 0. Then make a whole row of zeros. What does that add up to? 0. But what if you wrote out 1,000 of them? What would that add up to? Still 0, right? And so it is with all our spiritual gifts and faith and zeal without love. But now put a one in front of all those zeros. Whoa, bingo. Or add a two or a three. The value doubles, it triples. That's the power of love. Show me a person with loving gifts, loving faith, loving zeal, and I'll show you a truly successful person, a life of tremendous impact. Other religions and cults have their version of tongues and prophecy and great worship experiences and spiritual emotions and ecstatic zeal. And they even have their forms of faith and generosity and martyrdom. But no Lord Jesus Christ, no true Christian Calvary love. And so none of these other great deeds is proof of true godliness. Paul's not going to let any of the spiritual gifts go before love. He's happy for any of the gifts to fail before love fails. Love alone is indispensable. The church can survive and even flourish without any of these other gifts, but not without love. There's no substitute for love, none whatsoever. Often people say, oh, I wish the church was more loving. Well, help us learn to be more loving. Join us in this journey towards greater love. Holy Spirit produced Christ-like love. As one old Puritan prayed, oh, love, how much want, lack there is of you in the church of Christ. How much does the church feel for this want? It groans, it languishes, it dies daily because of your absence. Return, oh, love, return. Repair breaches, restore paths to dwell in. Edify the old ways and places and raise up the foundations of many generations. There was a newly converted lady, and she had one of her first Q&A sessions with the two men that were planting that church. She says to them, would you be willing to die for me? That's a great way to find out the heart of a leader, a parent, a pastor. This is a sobering, a haunting passage for people like me who came from another part of the world originally as missionaries. I could give up my life in America. I could come serve in Africa. And yet still be that clanging, noisy gong and that bashing metal. We could do lots of great things at Antioch and organize all kinds of wonderful ministries and events, but can be done for selfish motives. As Michelle said to me once, I can do all the right things as a mother for all the wrong reasons. Lord, help us to love. I'll leave you with this. Amy Carmichael in India, renowned for her Christian love, especially for the orphans that she rescued and brought in by the hundreds. The locals thought that Carmichael had some kind of muti, some sort of magic spell that she put on the children to make them love and respect her as much as they did. But Amy knew the deadly potential of lovelessness if it was allowed to creep into her orphanage. Once she wrote this, unlove is deadly. It is a cancer. It may kill slowly, but it always kills in the end. Let us fear it, fear to give room to it, as we should fear to nurse a cobra. It is deadlier than any cobra. And just as one minute drop of the almost invisible cobra venom spreads swiftly all over the body of one who gets bitten, so one drop of the gall of unlove in my heart or yours, however unseen, has a terrible power of spreading all through our family. For we are one body. We are parts of one another. We owe it to the younger ones, she says, to teach them the truth that united prayer is impossible unless there be loyal love. If unlove be discovered anywhere, stop everything, put it right, if possible, at once. And I'll show you a still more excellent, superior, the better way, the way of love. See you next week.